Well, hey, everybody. It's great to be together with you today. And God bless you today. How are you travelling with this COVID-19 season that we're in? Here at Crossway, we're coming from Melbourne in Australia. You know, Australia's had 102 deaths through the entire pandemic, and you might be coming from a country where there's been a far greater impact than that. And so in Australia, we're feeling it in a little bit of a different way. In Australia, it's not so much the health sector has been overwhelmed, but rather that our economy has stopped, that people's relationships have been isolated. In fact, just yesterday, the Premier of our state, Dan Andrews, while the rest of our nation is just starting to open up, we had to announce in Victoria yesterday that we're just starting to restrict things back again. We were being allowed to have like 20 people in our home, but now, as of tomorrow, that's back just to maybe 5 visitors in our home. And you might say, well, that's awesome, because in my country, like, we're still in total lockdown and absolutely restricted. But regardless, people tend to feel like they're getting a little bit stuck in this season. Really feeling stuck. I'm naturally an extroverted person. And pre-COVID-19, all of my extroverted needs were being saturated and more than amply supplied with contact with people here at our Burwood East campus of Crossway, which is our main campus. You know, we'd do 4 services on a weekend. Like, this hand would literally shake more than 1,000 hands. People would hug. I'd be right up front and chatting with people, like totally saturating my system. So that as an extrovert, when I went home, I would start to recover like a classic introvert. Like, I just needed to get by myself. I just needed to like have a little bit of time and space so I could recharge like an introvert would recharge. Well, now in the COVID-19 season, like, all of my extrovert needs, that's like the taps being completely turned off. I'm starting to revert to like looking for people and needing to find recharge. Like, I have the liberty of coming here to the facility on this, you know, Sunday, and I get to kind of see the back rooms. I get to say g'day to people with appropriate social distancing and the like. And something in me I find rising. And what I realize is that this COVID-19 thing was starting to do something inside my person. It was making me feel stuck. Like, in my relationship space, I was feeling stuck, and that was starting to spill out. It was starting to spill out into my sense of well-being. It was starting to spill into my spiritual domain, maybe even spilling into my home. Yeah, just my sense of, okay, how am I doing in this season? And I'm feeling stuck. That's probably the best way I can put it. You know, if we're kind of grading this thing up, maybe stalled is where you lose your momentum. Some of you might say, oh, I'm feeling like I'm stalling a little bit. Some might say that they're feeling stuck, as in that you're kind of feeling kind of caught. If you're even going to take it a little bit further, you might even say that you are trapped. And for some people, what's taking place around them is making them feel trapped. It's kind of gradated up, stalled, stuck, kind of trapped. Like, how are you feeling in this COVID-19 season? Well, we've been having a look at the life of Elisha, and that's had us mostly in 2 Kings in the Bible. And so I've called today's message Stepping Out of Stuck. And maybe I'm preaching to myself. These texts were assigned to me like months ago. But, you know, we always come to the Word of God with a grid. We come, we see it in fresh ways. And as I've looked at this passage from the Word of God just in this last week or more, the way that God's been ministering to me through it has been to do with this whole scene of, what does it look like to step out of being stuck? So here's where we are. We're in the back edge of 2 Kings chapter 6. And we've got this king. His name's Ben-Hadad of Aram, which is currently known as Syria. So he's a king in the Syria region. And he's come against a city called Samaria. And he's besieged the city. And he's besieged the city so severely. So these people are not just stalled or stuck. These people really are trapped. And like, they are totally trapped. They are starting to starve to death. There's this catastrophic inflation that's taking place where money didn't mean anything anymore. And gold and silver didn't mean anything anymore. It's like, you just give away everything if you could just have a little bit of food. Like, they were so stuck, or they were so trapped, the deviant behavior was starting to break out. And in this passage, we even read of the tragedy of two mothers who'd entered into a conversation and negotiated with one another, even about killing their own children and to eat them so they could survive. It's a really shocking scene. And anyway, it pushes the king who is besieged to this point, because he connects what's happening to Elisha the prophet. And he says, may God strike me and even kill me if I don't separate Elisha's head from his shoulders this very day. That's what the king vowed. And I guess I just want to pause and acknowledge, sometimes when we're feeling stuck, when we've got that sense that, hey, it's not working well for me, how I'm traveling right now, it can cause us to move into a zone where we start to lose our boundaries. How are you doing with that? Like initially working from home, you might have been saying, hey, I'm loving working from home. Home's great. But did you manage to keep your boundaries by way of your work ethic? If you're feeling stuck at home or in your social isolation, are you starting to lose your boundaries? Are you losing them morally? You know, it speaks about King David. In the season when normally the kings would have gone out to battle, he chose to stay home. And that's when he lost his moral boundaries with Bathsheba. Like, how are you going? And the king in this scenario, like, he's starting to do death threats against Elisha. He wouldn't have been doing that before. So we read on the text, and Elisha, there's an incredible anointing that rests on this man. And so he speaks about the future. And in fact, he speaks about just about tomorrow. And he says, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, that's the city that's besieged, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley will cost only 1 piece of silver. And as he spoke it out, one of the officers, because that was like catastrophically divergent from their current reality, in the most wonderful sense, as in right now it's terrible. And he said, hey, but tomorrow it's all going to be put right. And the officer assisting the king says to Elisha, that couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. He didn't have kind of faith to be there. And Elisha replied, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it. And we're going to come to that at the back edge. So I guess where we're going today, we're looking at this whole idea of what it looks like to step out of being stuck. If you're feeling stuck right now, I'm wanting to kind of work with the Word of God here. I want to see how it rolls out, this whole potential of stepping out of being stuck. And I just want to acknowledge, change begins with a thought. If you're familiar at all with the parable of the prodigal son, it was Jesus who told that story. And there's a certain point where this Jewish boy, he's totally blown his life to pieces. He's feeding pigs. He's starving to death as a Jewish boy. It's all a really tragic scene. And there's a little spot in the story where his trajectory changes. And it says, when he finally came to his senses, he said something to himself about there being provision in his father's house. Now, what I want you to realize is this. Stepping out of stuck begins with a thought. Something will take place inside you. Now, it might be a thought in that sense of, you know, you might have language structure around it, or it might be something that takes place in your spirit where something moves. I remember a fortnight ago when we were worshiping, and this whole thing of being stuck was already still kind of happening inside my person. And I get to physically stand in the room with the worshipers, which is getting broadcast to you. And I stood and I had my hands raised and I was really entering into the worship. It was like I experienced something move in my spirit. Something shifted inside of me. And so getting unstuck, this kind of, for something to shift, it actually begins with a thought. That's what this text shows us. And it tells us this. So you've got this army, this Syrian army surrounding this city called Samaria. The people inside the city are starving to death. But the story goes to 4 rather unlikely candidates for citywide liberation. And it's 4 men who had leprosy. It says, now there were 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gate. And they start to have a conversation with each other. They say, why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We'll starve if we stay here, but with a famine in the city, we'll starve if we go back in there. And we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. And if they let us live, so much better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. It's an incredible scenario that's taking place with these gentlemen. It's an incredible scenario that's taking place. Like, they're having a conversation with one another, but what they don't realize is that God himself is doing something. They don't know God's doing something. I think we need to believe that as they are chatting with one another, the Spirit of God is somehow provoking something inside of them that's causing them in that moment to have those thoughts and to have that conversation. From the Passion Translation in Romans 8:14, actually I want to go backwards a verse there to Romans 8:5, it says, but those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. I like the way it says that, those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, it picks it up and takes it a little further. Mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. That God himself would somehow stir inside of us and cause us to have a thought. That would cause us to begin a conversation. Because that's what we see happening with these leprous men. The Apostle Paul knew the reality of what that was like. He said in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, he said, now I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me there. But he's got this sense of something is taking place inside of him. I want to ask you, do you know the reality of that type of prompting of the Holy Spirit? Where God himself can come to you, even in your place of stuckness. Look, you're not going to get more stuck than these four guys with leprosy. Like, they're stuck outside their city. They've already been cast out of their city because of their leprosy. There was a fear that it would be contagious. So they're on the outside of the city. They're stuck there. The city is besieged. The people are stuck in there. There's a whole army who's out there who are threatening to kill them all. The city's besieged. Like, you can't get more stuck than these men. They were totally trapped. And then in the midst of that, they have a thought. In the midst of that, they begin a conversation. And what I want us to see here is in the midst of their then choosing to step out, that God himself was involved. Well, how do we know God was involved? Well, it's coming straight out of the text. Now, if you're going to step out, you need to bathe this idea in prayer. You do. If you're feeling like you're stuck, so you're socially isolated right now, you've been working from home. For some of you, you've lost your job. You're not sure what's going on around you right now. And you're feeling the confines. If you're a follower of Jesus, I want to say to you, bathe it in prayer. Now, look at how the Apostle John put these words. He said, we're confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. He said, and since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he'll give us what we ask for. So John is speaking here about, hey, if you're going to be coming to God, we're going to be praying in accordance with his will. We're going to be asking that which pleases him. So if you're going to be stepping out, let's step out with our thoughts, with our ideas, with our conversations bathed in prayer. So here's what happens with these four guys with leprosy. It says in 2 Kings 7 verse 5, it says, so at twilight they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sound of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us, they cried out to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. Now, I'm going to describe what just happened there as prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is the idea that God gets there before you get there. That the grace of God is active before you get into that space. Now, I don't even know, of course, where you're up to in your journey of faith. But let me tell you this, the grace of God is there. The grace of God is drawing you towards Jesus. If you've never put your faith in Jesus before, the Spirit of God right now is drawing you towards putting your faith in Jesus. He's quickening something within your own heart, within your own mind. He's opening up the potentials to realize that there is a God who is there. He knows you. He loves you. He is for you. He's demonstrated that in having Jesus Christ die on the cross. It's prevenient grace. God is there before you. He's already done all of that. He's inviting you towards himself. That's prevenient grace. This whole idea that you might have a thought right now, you're feeling stuck. You're feeling stuck because of COVID-19. You're feeling stuck in your home. You're feeling stuck in your business. And you just got to understand there is prevenient grace that God himself is before you. God has already gone there. It's God who's already preparing the way. So for these four men with leprosy, like they've gone on the journey, they've started stepping it out, and the first step is frequently the hardest step. And when they got there, they discovered that God had already done something. Look where the text says. It says, when the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another. Eating and drinking wine, they carried off silver and gold and clothing, and they hid it. You've got to realize, these men have been socially isolated for who knows how long. Like, leprosy was the ultimate sentence of social isolation. You were separated from your family, from your work. It was the worst condition in its day. It was the worst condition that a person could have because they lived. It was like a living death because all of their relationships were put through the shredder and they were cast out of society. And not even so much they were cast out of society, they would choose to be out of society because of their love for their family, their love for husband, wife, or children, or friends, or network. They would choose to separate themselves because of all of that. Now, these men are now in a place of incredible abundance. Like, how much food can you eat? Wine can you drink? Gold can you bury before you get a little bit of a conscience about that? Because they've stepped out of stuck and they've stepped into a place of abundance. And so they're eating and drinking, they're burying gold and silver and beautiful clothes. But something's going to happen inside your spirit at that point, isn't it? When you yourself have stepped out of stuck, you're going to want to be able to help other people to step out of stuck as well. I'm preaching to myself here, but I'm also preaching to you about this. You know, the text says, and from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So you see how the Apostle Paul is speaking there as one who stepped into the provision of God. This same God who takes care of me, he says, we'll supply all your needs. He's experienced something. He wants them to experience something. I, to a varying degree, have experienced God getting me out of stuck. Now, I want to be transparent with you. I don't know if I'm totally out of stuck. I'm not really enjoying the season that we're currently in. I'm missing so much of what a free society would normally have. I'm experiencing in my own heart some of the grief. I'm genuinely experiencing some of the isolation. I'm certainly experiencing some of the leadership challenge that the team are facing so admirably. I tell you what, I'm so proud of the team here at Crossway. But you know who I'm also feeling for? I'm feeling for every person who is part of Team Crossway. Over 1,800 people who are normally part of Team Crossway, whose opportunities have been suspended by COVID-19. For the vast majority of them, their opportunity is suspended. They no longer can come to church, but they can still be the church, and that's true of you as well. If that historically was your pattern, if you used to come to church, then you'd come. And in coming to church, you'd be fed. In coming to church, you'd be ministered to. Now it's all happening digitally right now through your TV screen or your computer or your phone, like whatever screen you're using. But it's happening on a screen right now. You can't come anymore, but you still can be. Oh, please receive that. You can't come, but you can still be. You can't come to church, you can still be the church. And the Apostle Paul had experienced what it was to step out of the stuckness of want of provision. And the same God who takes care of me, he's going to supply all your needs as well, he says. Now these lepers, they're experiencing the abundance. They've stepped out of stuck, they've stepped into the provision of God. And all of a sudden they realize they can't keep it to themselves. Like when you step out of stuck, you can't keep it to yourself anymore, can you? You know, Australian Christianity, in fact, it's bigger than Australia, it's Western Christianity, has been stuck for decades. In Australia, by all measures, the Christian faith has been in decline. Now, in our seventh decade, we are really, really stuck as far as what it looks like to be the church, what it looks like to be followers of Jesus. And for a number of years now here at Crossway, we've been looking afresh at the words, the ways, and the works of Jesus. And we started seeing some paradigm shifts, which were quite different. The way Jesus did it is very different from the way than Western Christianity does it. For example, Jesus would disciple people towards faith in him. But Western Christianity wants to see people converted, and then maybe some kind of discipleship would start there. Jesus discipled towards faith. He opened up a whole zone. He just started with where people are at. Jesus did a rapid mobilization model with in-situ training, and growth would be a byproduct. Western Christianity said, no, we've got to get you converted. Then we've got to get you to grow. Then maybe we'll train you. Then maybe further down the track, we'll mobilize you. And in our environment, we start to say, hey, look, it's the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. Everybody gets to play. We started to say, as one of our core values, there is room for you. We said, anyone can experience authentic community. We're just a come-as-you-are type environment. You know, the more we kind of lent into some of these principles that we saw Jesus doing, the more people we started to see not only putting their faith in Jesus, but discovering the life that Jesus offers. And we started seeing lives being transformed by the hundreds. And it was quite a journey. And we came to that point where we said, we can't keep this to ourselves. We're touching on some stuff here. We can't keep this stuff to ourselves. It's the exact point these four lepers came to. And can I say to you, at your point where you discover how to get unstuck, believe me, you will want to speak about it. So our text says, finally, they said to each other, come on, happy you say it with me, it's in yellow. This is not right. This is a day of good news. And we aren't sharing it with anyone. Something had taken place inside of them. They could not just sit there with the abundance of what they were experiencing. They couldn't just sit there and say, man, this is just all for us. That's a principle in life, you know. It must never, ever stop with you. You're not a bucket. You're a conduit. It's not just so that God can do stuff in you. It's so that God can do stuff through you. Whatever he's done in you is so he can do it through you as well. And they said, hey, we've got to share this idea. So they did. They said to one another, we wait until morning. Some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace. So they went back to the city and they told the gatekeepers what had happened. We went out to the Aramean camp. They said, there was nobody there. The horses, the donkeys, they're all tethered. The tents are all in order. But there wasn't a single person around. Then the gatekeepers shouted the news to the people in the palace. Now, it's amazing because liberation comes to the city. There's a tipping point. You know, someone has got to be the pioneer to step out of stuck. When you've got a whole city that's stuck, someone's got to be the pioneer to step out of stuck. When you've got Western Christianity that's stuck, someone's got to step out of stuck. Someone's got to be the pioneer. Someone's got to go out there only to discover that God's there beforehand. I want you to know this. These people who were the pioneers were the most unlikely pioneers. It was four men with leprosy. If you were going to say, who's going to bring liberation to this city? You're not going to be pointing at the four lepers sitting at the city gate. You might point at the king. You might point at the military. Like you might point at the prophet. You're going to point somewhere. Like, where's liberation going to come? How is this massive people going to get unstuck? But it came through four lepers. And you know what? They created a tipping point. They were the pioneers. Because look what happens. The text goes on and says, the king appointed his officers to control the traffic at the gate, because they'd gone out there, they checked, and news had made it back to the city. Hey, it's true. It really is true. But the guy who's the officer who's at the gate, he's the same one, remember earlier in the text, who said to Elisha the prophet, hey, there's no way, you've got to open the windows of heaven. There's no way known that this can happen. And this whole scenario has panned out in the next 24 hours. He's appointed at the gate, but he was knocked down and trampled to death. I shouldn't giggle as I say that. It's a terrible scenario. He's knocked down, he's trampled to death as the people go rushing out of the city. The king's officer, this guy had replied, that wouldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. And the man of God has said, you will see it with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it. And that's exactly what took place. A tipping point had taken place. A liberation came to a whole city. Now, hear me clearly. I'm speaking to you heart to heart as best as I know how. If you are feeling stuck, you might say, hey, I've got a minor form of that. I'm feeling stalled. You're stalled. You're stuck. You're saying, I've got a worse than stuck. I feel trapped. I want you to know this. There is a prevenient grace of God. He's going to go before you. There's going to be a thought that comes to you. Something's going to shift inside your spirit. Even right now, as I speak to you, hope is going to rise inside your spirit. Right now, I'm just saying that to you by faith. Receive that from the Lord. Hope begins to rise inside of you. It's possible for it to be different. It's possible for you to step out of stuck. You got to believe that God's there before you. There's prevenient grace. You got to believe that there's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to stay stuck. I want to speak to those of you who've got that sense of God Himself is inviting you to Him. Like, I'm not asking you whether you're religious, and your statement to yourself is, I am not religious. You say it to your friends, I'm not religious. But right now, because the invitation, by the way, is never to be religious. The invitation is into relationship. That God Himself has taken an initiative. The Bible says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The text goes on and says, God didn't send His Son to the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. There's a spot in the Bible where God says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever hears My voice, if they open the door, I will come in. And I'll dine with them. It's a statement of relationship. I'll be in relationship with them and they with me. And could it be that today is your day, that living God right now is inviting you out of your spiritual stuck space? And He's saying, hey, come. I know you. I love you. I'm for you. Jesus has done everything that needs to be done so you can be right with Him. Right now, in your own heart of hearts, open yourself to Him. Just find your yes in your heart to Him. Open your heart to Him right now. That's your opportunity. I want to speak to those who are saying, I really feel stuck by life. And you're saying, Pastor Dale, I know what you're talking about there. And yeah, I do know what it is to have put my trust in Jesus, but I'm feeling stuck in life. I'm feeling stuck in my home. Might be that what's happening, the dynamics in your marriage right now, you might be in a really difficult place. It's actually broken my heart to hear that the demand from life care, counseling services, especially for women and children who are experiencing domestic violence, has increased significantly over these months of social isolation caused by COVID-19. If that's your scenario, you can get unstuck. You can get untrapped. If you're feeling trapped in that scenario, please seek help. We are here for you. You need to feel safe. We're here for you. If you're somebody and you're finding that you're losing your boundaries because you're feeling stuck, and if that's manifesting in anger or violence, or if you're losing your boundaries with what you're doing with the internet or gambling or whatever it might be, can I say to you, you can be unstuck as well. You can step out of stuck. Just open your heart right now to the Lord. I'm going to give an opportunity where we can all pray together. So I'm going to invite you, just wherever you are right now, just incline your heart towards the living God. Let's come to Him. He's the one. Jesus said part of His mission was that the captives would be set free. So let's make it real in our own hearts right now. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Say, Father in heaven, thank you so much that you are the great liberator. You free lives. Jesus, you said you'll know the truth and the truth's going to set you free. So Father in heaven, I pray for anyone right now who's at that point where it's time for them to put their trust in Jesus. And in your own heart right now, just open yourself to the Lord. Father, I pray, come to them now by your Holy Spirit. Speak to them by your Holy Spirit. Let them know that all that binds their life and separates them from you falls away because Jesus Christ has done everything that needs to be done when He gave His life on the cross. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, the Bible says. Be free. Step out of stuck right now in your spiritual state. Just right now in your own heart of hearts, open yourself up to the living God. Say, God, I'm feeling stuck in my world. I'm feeling stuck spiritually. I'm feeling stuck relationally. Step out of stuck with God. Allow the Holy Spirit to sow a thought, to move something in your spirit. I just want to believe right now with you that this is a change point for you. This is it. You're stepping forward. So God in heaven, right now, I pray, by your Holy Spirit, you do a miracle, and it will be a miracle. It won't stop with this one person. It's going to be so good. It's going to pour through that person. It's going to touch a whole lot of people. Father, I want to pray right now for the liberation of cities through the most unlikely candidates. Their own testimony in their own hearts is they're a little bit more like a leper sitting at the gate, but liberation for their city is going to come through them because you, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, are stirring a thought inside them. You're going to send them out. You're going to provide an abundance for them, prevenient grace. You're going to save them, and you're going to save many others as a result. So we love you, Lord God. We thank you, and we praise you for the glory and honor of your name. And God's people agreed together, and they said, amen and amen. God bless you.